14, 15, and says, and the Lord said to Moses, wherefore hast thou gone to me? What are you going to come to me? He said, wherefore speak to the children of Israel that they go forward. You don't complain to me about it. Speak to your children.
This morning, Jesus said to Mike and Luke, the doctor, to never cease to imagine how things go for us in our program. We have other things that are sad for us that you may recognize as we go through the presentation today. And I said, I don't know what your secret will be saying this morning, but I expect it has something to do with the sermon. And then we walk out here, and the pastor, you notice, was the same one that carried it. This is remarkable. Well, maybe 2 months ago, which started the whole thing off for me, I worked on a sermon called Patience of the Saints. And we did have a sermon schedule about 3 weeks ago. And so I was on the same day. Together with us, it was really very enjoyable to work on. I wanted to come to church that Sabbath and the Sabbath before I was here this morning, sitting with you over here, and the pastor gave a sermon on persevering in adversity. You can almost all the same text that I read in my sermon. I thought, this is uncanny, and I turned around and told Judy and said, Judy, I have a sermon last week on the faith of the saints. And she said, I guess you're supposed to get it twice. So it's always amazing what the Lord does. You shouldn't be surprised because He is so amazing. But I'm thankful that you're here this morning. This is our heart as we start. Father, we do thank you for the privilege of being in your house here on your day. We ask the Spirit to be among us. And we thank you for the blessing we've already received. And in the office as we navigate through the next few moments, how we each want to take home something that we can savor this week and reveal to each one of us a little bit more about your love for us. And we're all peace and Christ in the So here we are in the final week of 2020. What a year it has been. Yes, there have been some great things that have happened this year. Yes, there were also more dreadful events than we ever care to recall. So much has happened in this year, and I think most of us are thankful that there won't be a do-over. Are you ready to tuck 2020 into the history book? Just now we are preparing to embark upon what will prove to be a very challenging year, 2021. Perhaps it will be even more challenging than the year we have just finished with this time. Are you prepared for that? How will you approach the new year, 2021? Are you satisfied with how you dealt with 2020? Are you satisfied with how you responded to Jesus this year? How is your relationship with Him today? Are you moving closer to Jesus, or do you find yourself slipping farther and farther away from His custody? I hope that you understand we are at a moment in time when our relationship with the Lord will improve all that we are doing. Stop and think about it. This may be the only thing that we really want to do for the Lord. Time to be depending on the Lord and to be moving forward, leaning into His principle of trust and obedience. I think you realize, or I hope you realize, the times we live in are catastrophic times in every sense of the word, physically, mentally, socially, and especially spiritually. In the language of Revelation 18, we understand that Babylon is falling. That great city is falling. In the lingo of our current culture, we recognize this prophecy to be best understood as says something like this. traditional methods of global affairs haven't arrived, and the operating structure of our culture is now completely out of order. Is there anybody that disagrees with that in this moment? I'm in trouble, aren't I? Well, I study this morning, take responsibility to the experience of God's people in times past. There are so many wonderful Bible stories that they are applicable to discussion for our believers. A lot of gifts have been provided for us, a roadmap for the God we would like us to proceed on in 2021. So we're grateful we are for the Word of God and all the guidance that we can receive. So as our custom is this morning, let's open the scriptures. I do hope you enjoy Old Testament history. I've really grown to love Old Testament history. I'm thrilled that we're going to be studying at Sabbath School for the book of Isaiah for 13 weeks. I hope you will enjoy that study as well. Now, Paul, as we have mentioned before, has explained to us in 1 Corinthians 10 and elsewhere that the ancient history of God's people is specifically given to us to help us move along the pathway that God has intended for us, pathway of moving forward. Now, in our reference text this morning, God's people find themselves trapped. We're in a lost time of the world. So we can move forward, not backwards, not to the right, but to the left. Leaders earlier, they've been given their walking papers. This is a very significant event. Somewhere in the neighborhood of 2 million people, plus all their animals, were given the green light to lead Egypt. This is something they had long hoped for and had strived for. It seemed like an endless conflict. And suddenly, at the end of 10 terrible plagues, here the itinerary of the Hebrews can be reviewed as nothing short of astonishing. It has been 430 years since Jacob and his family had made their way down to Canaan to meet with Joseph in Egypt. His family had now grown from approximately 70 individuals to over 600,000 men, mostly the soldiers and all their animals. This event, the Exodus, is basically beyond our imagination. As their exit from the land of Egypt materialized, it must have seemed likely that they would be led along the shortest possible route to the promised land. However, God elected to take them at the sea point, so they wouldn't face the Philistines in a battle and discourage them not to go back to Egypt. So, for the taking, that appears to be the easier route. God directed them to the mountainous region in the wilderness that is God's answer. Scripture states that he intended for them to appear to be crossed between the mountains and the Red Sea for a very specific reason. This was to be a very deliberate setup to make it appear that they were sitting down, a decoy for the mighty Egyptian army. And that is one that's all out of order, just like he does everything else. And as his prophet still is, he was for the benefit of his people and the benefit of his army. I will pray to God and arrange for this two-sided encounter to be a good story at the expense of prayer and humanity. Well, it wasn't only prayer that thought that God's people were sitting down. Exodus 14, verses 10 to 15, informs us, somewhat carefully, the following. Pharaoh and his army approached, and the people of Israel could see them in the distance and marching toward them. The people began to panic, and they cried to the Lord for help. Then they turned to Moses and complained bitterly. Finally, Moses told the people, "The Lord himself will fight for you. You will have to lift a finger in your own defense." And the Lord said to Moses, why are you trying to move? Tell the people to get moving. Since you can see that from every human perspective, prophet movement was impossible. From every angle, the people were trapped. It was even worse than being in the lockdown. The conditions that God's people now found themselves in completely demoralized them. It may have been the way they were in the lockdown. God commanded the Lord to be able to listen to the first three years. That's the deal. It was at this moment, time to lean into God's eternal principle of trust and obedience. I understand that this command wasn't just a decent proposal. The only hope of salvation was to move forward with God in faith. Now, the command to move forward always has significant purposes. In order to move forward by design, means that we must take a break from the past. Paul seems to understand this as he encourages the Philippians to be trusted toward the goal. Philippians 3:13 and 14, he says, I don't mean to say that I am all that God wants me to be, but I am focusing my energies on this one thing. You know this. Forgetting past and looking forward to what lies ahead, I strain to reach the end of the race and receive a prize for his cause, through Jesus Christ. You see, Paul was always looking to move forward, but it seems that Israel was always struggling with this idea. And it appears that they were never really able to make a break from the past in a complete sort of way. The devoted deacon, Stephen, expressed his faith in his final address to Jewish leaders. He reported that our ancestors rejected Moses and wanted to return to Egypt. Numbers 4:1-12 explains what happened when Joshua and Caleb encouraged the community of Israelites to move ahead into the land of Canaan despite the challenges that are surfaced. Not only did they want to return to Egypt, but they actually planned to stone Joshua and Caleb for their faithful offering. In 9:5-38, the Levitical priests recounted all the Lord had promised, all that he had done for his people there in the wilderness. This is powerfully recounted in verses 16-17. For our ancestors were proud of their covenant, and they refused to obey God's commandments. They refused to listen and to back the miracle that he had done for them. Here they rebelled and appointed the leader to take them back to Egypt. Jesus himself in the Jewish model of moving forward in his community of teaching there in a synagogue in Capernaum. Soon many of his followers began to complain about how hard it was to understand his doctrine. From 6:66 informed us that at this point, many of his disciples turned away and withdrew. I'm able to see that even some of the closest disciples rejected the idea of moving forward in faith. And we can forget the saddest position for our children, for she felt compelled to change that way. Stephen G. was made a reference to that, as he stated in Luke 17:32, remember why it was. Jesus further clarifies the implication of moving forward again when he told somebody in Luke 9:52, anyone who puts his hand on the plow and then looks back is not fit for the kingdom of heaven. Paul makes it very clear in this direction that he quoted in Hebrews 4:4-6, it makes a very uncomfortable picture for those who turn back in the way that the Holy Spirit is leading them. He writes that it is impossible to restore to repentance those who are not in righteousness. Those who've experienced the gifts of heaven and shared in the Holy Spirit, please taste the goodness of the Word of God and the power that we create from the sun, and we live from the way it was. It's impossible to bring such people to repent again because they are unknown. See, once we experience and partake of the Word of God, we are taught by the Spirit of God to move forward in the way of everlasting life. The instruction that God gives to move forward with Him is always accompanied by His honor and glory. Perhaps the best example of this is our featured story from Exodus 14. There are actually several references in this section where God informs His people that He is prepared to take full responsibility for their actions. Not only did He plan this out, but He also implemented this phenomenon without a single complication. Don't you find that amazing? Well, I hope you've noticed that all of God's meetings with His people come off the out of the way. They're longing to leave, but we're going to cooperate with them. Notice that to be moving forward means progress. Do you recall when progress is first documented in the scriptures? It was our creation in the Genesis. It was in the account of God's creation of all things. Consider the first 34 verses of your Bible. They are given as a model of moving forward. They report the systematic accounting of the progression of time and creation during the very first week of this planet. Notice next what Peter reports the progress as we move forward as partakers of the divine nature. Such as Peter 1, 5, and 7, to make every effort to try the benefits of these promises to your life. Then you are faithful to produce a life of moral excellence, which leads to knowing God better, which leads to self-control, which leads to patience and endurance, which leads to godliness, which leads to love for other Christians. Then finally, you will build to have genuine love for everyone. Solomon made a notable parallel in alluding to progress. The way of the righteous is like the very first dream of dawn, which becomes brighter and brighter until the full light of day. Now, to be moving forward also means that there is a destination that we have in mind. Hebrews 11, verse 10 to 16 tells us exactly the goal that God's people have looked forward to so long. All these faithfulness of life are without receiving what God has promised to us. But they sought from a distance and were welcome for the promises of God. They agreed that they were no more than foreigners and nomads here on earth. Obviously, people who think like that are looking for a country they can call their own. But they're looking for a heavenly place, a better place, a heavenly homeland. That is why God is not ashamed to be called our God. Now, we have prepared a heavenly city for them. This reference shows very clearly that the reward for our allegiance to God is the promise that we found in prosperity. And before we are also noted to grow in grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. Peter compared this process to the earth as a matter of maturity. 1 Peter 2, verse 2 and 3, the language is this: you must pray spiritual milk so that you can grow into the fullness of salvation. Can I offer this to your children as a baby cries out for milk? Now that you are patient, the Lord's son is here. The report that is found in Exodus 2 Peter 3, 18, the glory and the special favor and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be all glory and honor, both now and forevermore. Amen. all important, but it's a priceless progression of this process where we work in the transformation of our characters into the likeness of the Son of God. That was 3:21. As a result of trusting in Christ to save me, I can really know Christ and experience the mighty power that raised him from the dead. How would you like to experience that kind of power in your life? Are you aware that there's a law of success in moving forward? There actually is an equation for successfully making progress on our journey. Romans 12, verses 1, 12, and 13 encourages us to strip off every weight of self-discipline, especially the sin that so easily hinders our progress. Let us learn with endurance the race of God that stood before us. And God is for our penetration. So that we can leave this with your fire in it and stand firm on your stake later. Then mark out a straight path for your feet. Is this not far to be aware that God creates this anti-certainty instruction for moving forward? Chapter 28, you know in Christ. This is not to that point. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach these disciples to obey all the commands that I've given you. And you can be sure of this. I am with you always, even to the end of the age. You can be assured that no matter what assignment we receive in these last days, God will take full responsibility for our progress as we choose to do His will in our lives. So the disciples are taking the night phase. It was about 3 a.m. when the spot is where they saw the boat walking toward them on the surface of the lake. Matthew 14:24-29 reports that the story tells us that the disciples began to scream in terror. American grown men, Christian men. Now, we could give them a break and say they had left even distracted by the storm and distracted by the people. Has it ever happened to you? Distracted by the storm and fail to recognize Jesus? Rhetorical question. And the Bible relates to Paul that Jesus spoke to them a lot. And Peter calls him, Lord, did Israel you tell me to come to you by walking on the water? Then Jesus said, come. Now when Peter stepped outside the door, he walked on the water toward Jesus. Now Peter was a friend of Jesus, and it just happened to have a number of significant challenges. I think he can lie to his brother Peter. He was much like we are, learning to live into God's peaceful and trusting way. Now, Peter mistrusted and declined to obey the command of the Lord. He would never have been recorded as the only human to ever have walked on water. So, Peter found out firsthand that he could move forward by depending on his Lord and Savior. After all, this is the one who knows all, controls all, I hope you will see this morning that if ancient Israel has detached their hearts from the land of Egypt and all that it stood for, it would not have carried the name of Egypt. Instead, it would have entered the promised land. Today, we are reminded that they serve as an example for us on how to be faithfully moving forward. Among many things, their experience shows us that as long as we carry symbolic Jesus within our hearts, it will impede the progress of our Christian experience and we will see in this world. I think you can see that to be moving forward these days means there is progress and there is growth in Jesus Christ. Our relationship to the Creator God of the universe is always to be in the process of development. It is to be moving forward under the will of the one that commissioned us to be his saints. we don't need to be worrying or wondering as to which spiritual quality will strike next. God is the one that we have complete confidence in Him, and He takes full responsibility for our people. This week, we will likely be thinking about the onset of the new year, 2020. It's a good time to reflect, to reevaluate, to reconsider. There are some that may be considering what they would designate as New Year's resolutions. I'd like to suggest to you this morning that there really is only one resolution worth the time and energy that we spend as we navigate our journey. Let us focus on our goals this year, to take the time, to make the time in this coming year to develop a deep relationship with Jesus. There is no doubt that we will be rewarded accordingly, moving forward, leaning on God's intention for success in our lives. In this regard, I can confidently wish you the best blessings in the year. Let's pray in the name. Father, we do thank you for the many examples that you have given us. What a blessing it is to have you looking out after us. We thank you so much for taking responsibility for the outcome of our lives, and we place our will in your hands. Help us each day to be down on our knees, morning and evening, talking with you, and then listening to you as you speak to us through your word, the Bible. Thank you for giving the Bible to us. We pray that we might take to heart the instruction that we find with you. We know you are enabled to do success. Our Father, thank you for the confidence that we can have in you as we begin this new year, 2021. Thank you for providing all of our needs in a manner that is pleasing to you. And we ask this in Christ's name.